Self-Evident is a platform that is dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident and doing so in love. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. I am joined with Jenna, of course, and we have a special guest today, a special guest host, Stephanie. Can you introduce yourself for everyone?
Yeah, so I'm Stephanie Stapert. I am the program manager at Turning Point Academy, the education division of Turning Point USA. My role is to help with some of the marketing communications of all of our programs and just make sure that they all run smoothly. So
that's fantastic.
That sounds like a big order, though.
Yeah, it is.
Making sure a company like that that has its reaches in, I think, every single state has a Turning Point USA Academy base. And just making sure communication goes well, that just seems like a big deal.
It is, but I'm one piece of our team, and I'm happy to support all that they do. But
that's awesome. And I met Stephanie through the magnanimous Rebecca Leland, and we got to work together in Springfield when the HB 2827 was brought up for a House committee hearing. And so I got to get to know Steffi a little bit better and just work with her. And it's been such a blast. And I was like, hey, do you want to come onto the podcast? And she graciously decided to give us her presence for a little bit of time. So I'm really excited to dive into today's topic with you guys.
I'm super excited to be here. And it was so fun to get to know you and just at the HB 2827 event, but also the Worldview Conference that IFI hosted with the National Marriage Campaign.
So getting into our topic, something that Charlie Kirk recently spoke about on his podcast was that college indoctrinated or educated women are going to be the downfall of America, basically, because what they've been inundated with education is narcissism and only thinking of yourself, career climbing, not giving thought to family or future prospects when it comes to marriage or having children. And as someone who works with Turning Point Academy and specifically with the college age people, what do you see going on with that?
Yeah, so a lot of this is going to be actually from my personal experience. I went to a public high school, and then I went to Michigan State for college. And while I loved my time there, it was not good for my faith. Mm-hmm. And I saw it firsthand just how, I guess, college has kind of pushed this idea. In school, I think in general often does, that your career and what your accomplishments are your identity and the thing that you need to be chasing after. And that's something I see the women in my life that I knew from college, that they have totally embraced that. And when that doesn't work, then they embrace social justice causes instead. And just people that were on the fence with their faith have now just completely gone away from that. And so it's something that's near and dear to my heart, seeing how I'm a Christian, and thankfully that is not my story, but it's such an important topic to cover, especially as women, like what actually makes us virtuous and what makes us actually believe in the Bible and its truths, and what are the lies that are being told to us as women.
For sure. Well, I even think that that permeates a little bit, even in conservative circles, with young women going to college. And not saying that college is a bad thing. I mean, I went to college, but you do still see conservative women chasing a career ideal that they have.
Right.
Or purposefully maybe putting like any kind of relationship prospects on the back burner for the sake of their career, which I guess I personally didn't do. I got married when I was still in college. I actually highly recommend it. If like nothing else, we were talking about this.
Just a little monetary
We were just talking
gain,
about
guys.
This over lunch. If nothing else, the monetary gain of marrying while you are in college, it saves you so much money because the government looks at you and says, oh,
you poor broke little child.
Let me give you some grants for nothing else. Monetary gain. It is there. And Trump is even talking about making
you brought that up
like
in
the federal grants.
On the outline together.
Yeah, I was like, wow, this is very relevant because Trump is trying to incentivize people even having children
while you're in college. Like, it doesn't hamper you, I don't think. I think it makes you a better person. I thought it made me a better college student being married because I was a theology degree major, and a lot of the things with theology were really challenging to me because, like, you're living with someone, you're learning how to do life with someone, you're kind of like the whole love your neighbor thing, like your spouse is your closest neighbor. So it really challenged my mind in a new way when it came to writing my papers. So
that is so cool.
I thought it made me a better student, but
well, and I think the other thing to note when if you don't have that biblical worldview attending college, how easy is it to see what everyone else is doing and mm-hmm. kind of absorb the ideas of what is an ideal relationship. Yeah. Or do I even pursue a relationship? But, you know, it's nice to still get it, go on dates or all of that. And that's a huge part of, I think, culture in college, mm-hmm. especially if you don't go to a Christian university. And even if you do, I've seen too, my friends that went to Christian universities, they still... There's still shenanigans that go on.
Yeah.
There's still perspectives of like what actually is the meaning of dating, what is the meaning of marriage, mm-hmm. and do I actually need it?
Right. For sure. I've seen that a lot with students who have, like, even friends that have gone recently, their entire perspective on what they want for their future kind of changes when they go to college. Of course, everyone says this when they go away to college, you know, they're just like, oh, nothing's going to change. You know, I'm going to be the same person. I'm just going to be like a couple hours away. And then life happens. And this is well and good. You know, mm-hmm. when you're in a college community, that in-person community should be your priority where you're mm-hmm. at. Unfortunately, when you are in that community, it really does depend if it's good or bad, which way your life is going to go from there. Not even with the leftist liberal ideology that especially white women very seem to like grab onto and just hold onto it. It can go the other way too. Like, for example, I remember it started in 2020 with the whole trad wife trend, and we've talked about this on the podcast mm-hmm. before. Yep. It was a huge thing because it's like the exact opposite of what the liberal white woman purports that she wants, etc. It's very interesting to see like how even that side of the spectrum is completely opposed to biblical worldview, because when you're doing something only for the aesthetic is the best word I can mm-hmm. use for it, it's still empty and it's still shallow. And that's not going to be an identity that you can live with.
Oh, yeah. I would say definitely there are two ditches. You have the trad wife in one ditch where you need to wear dresses and skirts. We actually have an episode releasing soon that will be covering this, that you have to bake your own sourdough bread. You have to have some chickens, grow your own herbs, like the very idealized farm lifestyle.
And that's all well and
which
good.
Which is fine. Like if you will note this on, again, the episode that's releasing soon, if you want to bake your own sourdough, go for it. My husband had a coworker that gifted me a sourdough starter. I tried so hard to be a sourdough girly. I fed it. That alone makes me feel weird that I'm feeding something and keeping it alive and it's growing. It creeped me out. So I let it die and it turned black and then I threw it away. So I would have
it
an excuse.
So
it was
disgusting.
So bad. I showed it to you.
I just received a sourdough starter. But mind you, our family friends bought a farm.
Okay.
And so we visited for the weekend. We visited for the weekend. And by the end of the weekend, I was like, wow, this food was amazing. It was so cool. They had cows and chickens and goats.
And sourdough.
And it was an amazing experience. And I left with like, this will never be my life, but I'm going to incorporate aspects of it. And that's sufficient.
Again, like if you have a farm, you have your cows, your chickens, your sourdough starter, I am not shaming you. All I'm saying is that lifestyle is not this only biblical womanhood. And Proverbs 31, I know that's a phrase that is thrown around a lot. But I think what people tend to do wrongly with scriptures that come with that theologically is they look at those descriptions and they'll prescribe it for their life. And the Proverbs 31 woman is not a prescription of, okay, I need to buy and sell fields, so I need to make sure I get in the real estate market, or I need to make my own clothes, or I need to dress my kids in scarlet, or I need to make sure my husband is well thought of in the community, and I need to make sure he climbs the ladder in the corporate ring so that I can be that Proverbs 31 wife. But what we actually see with scriptures like that is it's meant to be descriptive of your life, of what is the Proverbs 31 woman look like. She prioritizes her home. She's humble. She has a good reputation. She's dedicated to her family. She isn't lazy. All of these are character traits that we're supposed to emulate. And whether you're in the city and you are working as a stay-at-home mom, or you're in the country and you have your sourdough starter and you're milking some cows, both of you can be that Proverbs 31 wife, Proverbs 31 woman.
Yeah, I remember hearing the first few times I heard about Proverbs, like, oh, you got to be the Proverbs 31 wife and woman. I hated it.
Yes.
I hated it. I was like, there is no way.
Right.
Like, that is crazy high standards for one person to accomplish, maybe in their lifetime. I think in their lifetime it's doable. But all at once at the same time, you're expecting me to do what?
Do I even get a say in if I want to sell fields? What if I don't want to do that, you know? Yeah, I was right there with you for the longest time. Don't you want to be able to like make clothes for your children? So like you need to go take lessons with your neighbor in sewing. I don't want to.
Which, by the way, I took sewing lessons. I still have a dress that I made from sewing lessons.
That's adorable.
Do I know how to sew anymore? No. But continue.
That's something that I do believe a lot of Christian women are pointed towards Proverbs 31 and like, oh yes, go to her right now. When there's no elaboration on what she's supposed to do and when there's no mentorship, in the Bible we are instructed to be a community, and so older women are supposed to teach younger women, older men are supposed to teach younger men. And if there's no community around that, like for example what you were saying about women adopting woke agendas in order to fulfill that identity, they're also trying to find a community too. Mm-hmm. It's very important to be a part of a community. We're built as creatures for relationship and comfort and companionship. If you can't find that in one place, you're going to go to another to see if you can find it there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a danger that all people, especially young women, experience. I grew up a Christian. I've always, you know, believed in God, but I quit going to youth group halfway through high school. There was reasons, but they weren't necessarily, you know, at the time I thought they were great reasons. And looking back, I'm like, man, probably shouldn't have done that. But I also like didn't have solid older women mentors in my life. And so it was very easy to look at, okay, what about my life to look like? Well, I'm going to look at the media that's surrounding me. I'm going to look at what my friends are saying. And influenced me more than I expected. And so I was really wrestling with, by the time I was in college, with, okay, what do I actually believe when it comes to dating? What do I actually believe when it comes to marriage? What do I actually believe I'm supposed to be and do? And church doesn't talk about the, you know, touchy subjects, and it's often when it comes to, especially like, what is the proper view of sex? What is the proper view of marriage besides like you're just supposed to get married and you just reserve it for that? And so I was really questioning those things. And then you go to a public university where everyone's like, well, you just do whatever feels right or what seems right. And how do you still have those standards when you're not surrounded by mentors or even a solid church family around you?
Where's in that the accountability?
Yeah, there's not accountability. And when they're not talking about it, where do you find those answers when you're young unless you are constantly searching for it?
Right.
So that's where I think I've seen a lot of things go wrong in our society when they don't have those mentors and people explaining like why sin is sin. That was something, again, it's like, well, I know it's wrong, but why? Is it just, you know, God just being like, ah, you just shouldn't do it because I said? It's like that parent when they say,
Because
I said so. And that was my perspective on some of these things when it came to either relationships or it came to even partying or drinking or, you know, things like that. Yeah. It was like, well, is it really a sin? And I think that's the danger that young people fall into, especially women. And I think as women, too, we all want to feel loved and beautiful. And we all have these... I don't have it totally worked out yet, but I have this theory that like there's a point in all women's lives where they finally realize that they're actually beautiful, and that's physically, but it's also internally. And that I feel like changes your whole world when you realize like, oh, I don't have to fight for the approval of men. I'm just beautiful. So I think when that leads well into scripture as well, because God says we are created beautifully. We are fearfully and wonderfully made from the beginning, and he loves us from the beginning. And that's just incredible. And I wish that more young women were taught that from a younger age.
Well, this seems like a very personal experience for you. Would you mind sharing, did you have that moment in your life? That's how you got that theory?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've never been a smaller human. I had a bunch of friends that were like skinny minis all the time, and I love them. And that is just not me. And then I dated in high school. And so I was like, well, at least, you know, one guy likes me, right? So I must be at least sort of pretty. Then I think when I got to college, it really dawned on me that I'd noticed I had gotten some of the attention from men. And I was like, oh, so I must actually be pretty. You know, those are those things that dawn on you. And while I was formed in a bad sense, like you shouldn't just be getting your sense of beauty from what other people think of you. But that's when I really was like, oh, okay, then maybe that is legit. you hear again from scripture that you are beautiful, but to know it, like experiencing that is a little different, and then reminding yourself that like you are beautiful is a different thing too. So it veers into sometimes I think that like self-help, like just tell yourself you're beautiful. Mm-hmm. And while I think that's important, we shouldn't be degrading ourselves and our friends shouldn't be degrading us either. I think there's a moment of which you realize that for yourself, and then you can then move forward and pursue a better mindset.
Yeah. And plus, I think scripture, where the self-help really gets really dangerous, is it tends to tell women that you're perfect just the way you are. You don't need to change anything. Love yourself. Self-care. I hate that word, self-care. But I think the beauty that you are getting at is just coming to a place where you are so content with how God designed you to be, and coming to a deeper realization of the innate value and worth that we all have, that whether or not we're dating, whether or not we're married, has nothing to do with the confidence I feel in who God created me to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something too, in just in my own life, when we're talking about, you know, is your career the most important thing in your life? That has been the consistent thing where it's like, well, you know, if anything else is going wrong in my life, at least I have my work. At least there's something I can do that brings value. And it's not always just your work.
Sometimes I definitely fall into that.
Yeah, it's the friendships I have. Well, at least I'm a good friend, or, you know, at least I can score some points here bring you joy and happiness and worth. And again, a lot of those things are based in scripture, but it's when we are placing those above Christ that's where we fall. And so I think that's, again, the world is on the right track with wanting to have accomplishments, but they get it wrong when they try to do it without Christ.
And that kind of moves into what we were outlining about. You mentioned that female lawyers would quit their jobs because they want to find family. They want to find like satisfaction in something, and they found that they couldn't find it in their work. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So again, my family is wonderful. We have many theological discussions in our household. So when I would be home from college, my dad would share various pieces of wisdom with me, and he was listening to Jordan Peterson. Yeah. And Jordan Peterson is a clinical psychologist, but he has talked a lot about the differences between men and women. Mm-hmm. And he had been hired by many law firms to talk to their top partners who are women that hate their job. And it's like they made it to the top, they're successful, they've accomplished more than a lot of men have. Mm-hmm. And the law firms are like, we don't get it. Like, why are they unhappy? Please fix them. And so,
hire the psychologist. Get
in here. Yeah, get in here. Go meet with them. Figure out what's wrong. And what the theme he had found was that a lot of them are in their, you know, mid 30s. And at that point, they're just completely unhappy because their worth was in their work and it's not satisfying them. Mm-hmm. And so it's like they've accomplished these things. They're brilliant, but they're missing that family aspect. And obviously their biological clock is a real thing. Yeah. And so they were feeling that pressure, but then they don't have that relationship or that child in their life to find joy outside of their work. And so that was the thing where it's like, okay, God designed us different than men. And while I think work is important and wonderful, that's not the main purpose that we were created for.
I can't improve on that at all. And I remember hearing that most women, I think it was in that Jordan Peterson talk, because he's talked a lot about that the average age for quitting, if you're a female lawyer, is like 34 or something like that. That seems to be like the 30 to 35 range tends to be when the women are like, you know what, I'm done. Either because they are having a baby and they're like, okay, I did the whole career thing, I'm going to stay home now and raise my baby, or they're very unhappy and they want something that has fewer work hours, that gives them the ability to date, because lawyer work hours are very long and very stressful and very high energy. So they want something that's more conducive to a family life that a man will like want to or have the time to date them. It was fascinating to me. And it just, once again, segueing back to our original talking point, that I see a lot of conservative women still falling into this trap. Like, even getting into the conservative movement, it is so hard, and you really have to put in the work and the hours. And I think sometimes it's just so preoccupying our mind of, wait, slow down. It's just a job. Yeah. It's just a career. Right. It's not your life.
I read a quote today that said, I don't remember where it was from, but it said, make sure that you're living life, that you can slow down in life mm-hmm. to be able to acknowledge God and his creation around you. And that kind of ties into what you're talking about, where it's like you need to be very, very conscious of the career path that you're choosing, because 10 years down the road, are you still going to be happy doing that? Or do you want something else other than work to be fulfilling your life? Mm-hmm. And that's something I've noticed more recently. Like, it hit me like a brick wall, I think about a month ago, where I'm looking around at friends and seeing the paths that they're choosing and realizing 5 years down the road, you're going to be looking around and going, what happened to everybody? You're throwing yourself so hard into one area of your life that you're making no time for anything else. You're not making time for family or relationships or anything. And it's honestly scary. So not even, I know we were going to be talking about like the liberal white woman, but it seems like, you know, the conservative women need help too.
The workaholic is still like, whether you're liberal, whether you're conservative, that's still somehow seen as virtuous, that you're always working, you're up
and you're exhausting
early,
yourself.
You're exhausting yourself, you're working late, you're working early, you don't have time for family, but oh, you're so dedicated to your career. Good for you. And when we look in scripture, what we see is someone who has that pattern is that work has become your idol. Mm-hmm. That's an idol of the heart that needs to be taken down. And so, and I think it's because of our American industrial capitalist society of you have to work hard to get to the top, to make that money, to make that footprint in the world that you want to make. And it easily, again, becomes a snare, because we sell our souls a little bit to it, that I'm going to sacrifice my sleep, I'm going to sacrifice my nutrition, I'm going to sacrifice my romantic relationships, my family relationships, my friend relationships on the altar of work. And it's really sad to see. And I see it so much with conservatives too.
So do you think that women should work then?
Oh, I yeah. do. I think we're commanded to in scripture. I think humanity was created for work. Now, men and women were created for different types of work. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, Adam was created to tend the garden, to till the earth. Eve was created to work alongside him and also to take care of him. We are called to work for the glory of God, not for each other, for Christ. So I know a lot of people always talk about like, oh, woman was created for man. So now woman, her only position is to be like next to her husband and working for her family. No, not necessarily true. As image bearers of Christ ourselves, our main end is to serve and glorify God. Mm-hmm. Whether that's to be called with a family, like with Alyssa, mm-hmm. or it's called to do something else, like work for a field that God has trained you to or given you the skill sets for. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Like, you know, life changes, life happens. And I think especially girls always say like, well, I'm in my single season right now. I'm just waiting for my Prince Charming. You know, you need to fill those hours. Like, yeah, wanting to get married is a really great thing. You know, I want to get married. You can't just wait around though to wait for someone to just show up at your door. I know a lot of people agree with that.
You want to be the kind of woman that the kind of man you want looks at you and says, yes, she looks like a fantastic partner for life. She has her head on straight. She's dedicated. She's not lazy.
She's pursuing the same passions that I love.
Yeah, exactly. The balance is hard though, because like, for example, I'm getting ready to go on maternity leave in the next like month. And I found myself getting really anxious because I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be away from work for like 2 months. How is everyone going to survive? And I need to prep all these things.
But it's not your problem.
I was just going to say, like this past week, I just like took a deep breath. I'm like, you know what? Not my problem anymore. When I'm on maternity leave, I'm viewing it as like my baby vacation of I'm only with my
Amen.
Baby for this time. If the world falls apart, at least I have my baby. And then when I get back to work, I'm revolving work around my baby's schedule, which I'm very blessed with the job that I have that I can even do that. Because if I didn't have a job that allowed me to do that, my husband and I would have made the decision for me to stay home because we wanted to prioritize our family.
And I think that's so important. I mean, definitely with the, like, I'm a single person. I'd love to get married at some point. But, like, the Lord still calls us to honor and glorify him and use our time well. And yeah. that's
and
something...
use our talents. Like, yes. Are we going to say women aren't talented?
Of course.
And don't have gifts? You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something I found so fascinating. I think it depends on your you know, what the Lord has called you to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I have two really solid best friends that I've known since childhood. One of them would love to be a stay-at-home mom. She just loves kids and, like, wants to do that. That's not her reality right now. Mm-hmm. Another one of our friends, growing up, she was like, I'm never having kids. And we looked at her and I said, yes, you are. Your genes are too good. We can't pass that up. Like, you're too good of a person. You can't. That doesn't make sense. Now, of course, she's happily married. She's starting a business.
That's adorable.
She wants, of course, children. Me, I was like, I want kids, but I don't think I can ever be a stay-at-home mom. I just don't think I can do it. Mm-hmm. And that perspective changed. Mm-hmm. It changed a little bit, but I think the Lord has called us uniquely to different things and given us unique skills to use and honor and glorify Him. So you being if you want to be a stay-at-home mom and it works and makes sense, like, the Lord has prepared that for you, and I think that's beautiful and wonderful. We'll see what the Lord has in store for me when that happens. But again, before I was working at Turning Point, I did a year of freelance marketing work, and I was working way less, and it was amazing. And I was like, wow, like, you can fill your time with valuable things, and you don't have to just put your identity in work and work crazy hours and do all the things. I was involved more at church. I was more consistent with my friends. I was planning fun social things and serving more actively in my community, and that was so valuable. And then during that season, I was like, wait, I like working less. I could see myself maybe being a stay-at-home mom and doing some other projects on the side.
Of course.
So I was like, okay, well, now that I know I can do freelance, when, Lord willing, I get married and have kids, I can pick that back up again.
Absolutely. Well, I was just about to say that some women, with their personalities, I think the Lord uses, and He gifts us with the personalities that we have, that some women have the personality where being a stay-at-home mom and not having any projects on the side is completely fulfilling, whereas some women need to have a project on the side. And my mom was that way. She needed to have her graphic design as a side thing, just as a creative outlet to help bring income into the family, to help grow her dreams and her passions. And so I feel like I'm kind of like my mom in that way, where it's like,
you're definitely like your mom in that way.
I couldn't not do anything extra. Like, I want to do extra things. So I think the Lord also gifts women with certain personality types to accommodate that. So I don't think it's a one size fits all.
I agree. And I love when people are like, oh no, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. Like, oh, what? My gosh.
You're literally
Are you
the
hearing
chef?
The words coming out of your mouth?
You're like, the private chef, you're the dishwasher, you're the laundress, you're the educator, you're the caregiver, you're the nanny. Like, you are like everything.
You're everything.
This one girl, I was watching a Instagram video, she calculated how much it would be to outsource every single thing she does, like, as a laundress, as a nanny, like, pretending that she's a nanny for her kids, it's like private chef and all of these expenses. And it was like $300,000 to $400,000 a year. And she showed it to her husband. She's like, this is how much we're saving because I am a stay-at-home mom. And I just thought it was amazing.
I love that. But
my dad has said that many times, because my mom stayed home for most of my life. My dad actually stayed home with me when I was a baby for a couple years.
Okay.
And then it switched. My mom stayed home for the rest and is still a stay-at-home mom with my younger brother. But my dad had said again and again to her, like, I could not do my job if you were not at home taking care of things.
Exactly.
He could not be out working. And, you know, he's like, if I have to come home to a mess or to having to make my own food, how can I go out every day and work effectively and efficiently? So it's been a blessing to have parents that support you and are, you know, parents that can stay at home and do that.
Yeah, it also depends on perspective hugely. You know, if your perspective is, I'm just a stay-at-home mom, then yes, your everything you do is going to be tainted by that view. But when you say that, yes, I get to be a stay-at-home mom because I am reflecting Christ to these little image bearers that God hasn't charged me with, well, that shifts the entire, like, the whole thing, the whole perspective. But in closing, how would you, I want to go back to Charlie Kirk's question of how do we reach liberal white women. Not only liberal white women, but now let's see, how can we reach our conservative peers who have fallen into the mindset, or at least if it's temporary mindset of work needs to be my everything or school needs to be my everything. What are you guys' thoughts?
I think the first thing is to remember that Proverbs talks about this. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. Mm-hmm. So remembering that our purpose is in Christ. If you're a believer, that's pretty easy to believe. Mm-hmm. But also that knowing that, like, wisdom comes from the Lord, and it is opens the door for us to live virtuous lives. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know that, then you're living life as a fool. And actually, our Bible study has been talking about that this week and this month, and it's been really eye-opening to see mm-hmm. just how, as Jesus is the source of all wisdom, and when we ignore God's order for things, how destructive that life is for us.
Mm. Alyssa?
I maybe come at it from, I don't know if this would be like a harsher standpoint, maybe, but my counselor brain just gets turned on with these questions. And whether you're liberal, whether you're conservative, when I see the trend of this idolization of a career, whether it's a good career
or an agenda,
whatever, again, whether you're liberal or conservative, it doesn't really matter. When you see this idolization of a career or a path that you want to be on, and you're putting so much effort and so much identity into it, I see it as a big heart problem of your posture towards the Lord. And so I guess my challenge to conservative women who claim to be Christians is to search the scriptures, search your heart. You know, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can know it? And I think it's a call ultimately to repentance, because mm-hmm. we live in a culture that is so career oriented, whether you're on the right or the left, both fields easily fall into
both
that.
Both men and women.
Absolutely. So that's my answer, is repentance.
I also wanted to say real quickly, wrapping this up, is you need a mentor in your life.
Absolutely.
What we were saying earlier of how if you had somebody in your life that was speaking truth to you and being like, hey, yeah, no, this is actually why it's a sin, this is actually why this is not good for you, then some things in your life might have been different, might have been for the better. You know, praise the Lord, he makes all of our crooked paths straight for his glory. And it's mm-hmm. so wonderful, because then you get to testify and you get to be that mentor for other people. And yeah. say, like, hey, I've been there, I've done that. That's not how God wants us to live. Christian women, especially conservatives, we need to find a good mentor. We need to find an older woman that we respect, we look up to, and be able to follow in her footsteps. Because if we're just learning by ourselves, we're going to get lost so easily. Mm-hmm. And then also with liberal women, just take a chance, hear people out.
Well, and I just thought of, because I just said, you know, search your heart. And I was thinking, I guess if I had heard someone tell me that, I'd be like, well, what do you mean by that? And I just thought of some good, like, heart questions to ask yourself, if my work is too important to me. And I think,
Or if my agenda,
my dreams, my desires, my passions are too important for me. And I've had to do this too, is my health being sacrificed in any way? Like, am I working too much to where
convicted.
I'm not eating well, or I'm making compromises on my diet, or I'm not drinking enough water. Jenna, just kidding.
Sorry. No, it's true.
She is horrible about drinking water. Anyway.
I used to be. Get a good water bottle.
Well, I have my Stanley.
Hold it. Have it be next to you while you do work.
Your emotional support bottle.
Yes, 100% it works.
Our bodies are temples, and we're called to take care of them. And so that's one question, is your health suffering? Another question is, how is your Bible reading? Do you compromise on that of, oh, I'm too tired to read, or I have too much going on in my day, I don't have time for God's word? What is your prayer life like? Are you just getting through your prayers so that you can move on to the next thing, or are you saturating yourself in communion with the Holy Spirit? What is your church life like? Are you just like in and out of church as fast as you can be because you have other things to do and other plans and other work things to think about? Or are you gathering in community? Are you enjoying worship? Are you enjoying sitting under the preaching of God's word? Are you getting involved in a small group? Like, do you have Christian friends? Are you building community? Like, all of these are heart questions of where your priorities actually lie. And if you actually honestly answer all of these questions, you will very easily see whether or not your work has become an idol, or whether or not you have it in a good balance.
Yeah, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Because, I mean, we can't have everything perfectly balanced in life. Like, work and life is never going to be in a perfect balance. But heart questions like that are important to at least keep it on a tempered scale.
I agree. And I think that's a great note to end on. Do you want to close this out?
Yeah, thank you guys so much for watching or listening. If you're just doing it on our normal podcast channels that we do, I know we did YouTube fairly recently. I think it's only been a few months since we started doing YouTube.
You're officially our third guest on the YouTube.
Yes! We hope that this episode was really encouraging and informative for you. And until next time, let us firmly rely on the protection of divine providence. This is Self-Evident.